Good morning. Thank you so much for being a part of this message, tuning in. I'm so thankful for you. I wish we were all together here. Hopefully we can get together again just as soon as possible. But I want to share a message with you today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read this scripture to you. It says this: "This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so I'm coming to you this morning by way of technology, and I want to remind you this morning of a much older technology, the Word of God, letters written by Paul and James and Peter, written to strengthen churches when the leaders wanted so badly to be with the people that they loved. They wanted to be with people to encourage them and strengthen them, but they couldn't be with them. And so we have this old technology of letters. And the early church leaders wrote these letters called epistles. And they were, again, letters written from Paul and Peter and James and others. And they were written to encourage their friends in the Lord, to strengthen their faith, to strengthen congregations where they couldn't be present. And so they spoke of their love in these letters. They spoke of their prayers and their deep trust in God, in the truths of God. And I want to remind you today that we have an older technology, a God-given technology in the Word of God, these epistles that were designed to strengthen our faith. And so I'd encourage you, Scripture is given by God. It's a means of accessing God's grace. Scripture is a means for which God to touch us with revelation and power, as it's read in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the anointing of the Spirit to read the Word of God. And so I'd encourage you, simply pray and ask God, "God, would you send your Spirit as I read your Word and teach me your truth?" And I want to invite you in the weeks leading up to Easter to press into the Word of God. Let God minister to you through this ancient technology that is so relevant to us, that can strengthen us. You know, 3 weeks ago, I felt the Lord's presence so strong, and I heard these words in my heart, these words from God in my heart: "Make sure your belt of truth is secure, because it's the centerpiece of your armor. Make sure your belt of truth is secure because it's the centerpiece of your armor." And of course, that word from God is a reminder of Ephesians and to put on the spiritual armor. But it's also a reminder that the belt of truth is so important, because it's the very centerpiece. It's what gives you protection when you need it most, whenever you feel under attack. You need to have the truth. You need to be rooted in the truth, secure in the truth, know the truth, and stand upon God's promises. And so we have access to this older but timeless form of technology. The title of my message this morning is Timeless, a Timeless Technology. And so we have access to this older timeless technology, the epistles, letters written to encourage God's people when leaders couldn't be present when they wanted to be. And I want to encourage you, let these epistles encourage you this Easter, prepare you for Easter worship as we get closer and closer to that day that we've set apart to worship and remember Resurrection Sunday, and that Jesus is alive. And he's alive forevermore. And I want to throw out a challenge to you. For those of you who love to read and study Scripture, could we read all the epistles, you know, the letters in the New Testament? Maybe that's too much for you, but maybe you could read 1 Thessalonians. Maybe you could read Colossians or Ephesians, and to just get into those letters. And just remember, those leaders wanted to be present with their churches. And yet God's Spirit can touch each of us right where we are. God can minister to each of us, and we can be strengthened by the apostles' witness in the Word and touched by heaven by this timeless technology. So I want to read to you from one of these epistles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says this, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe." And so those words are very powerful. This epistle where Paul is giving praise to the church in Thessalonica, because when they received these words, they received them as the very word of God, words sent from God himself. And Paul says, which they are. "You didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is." And that's the very root of our foundation and our strength and having that belt of truth secure. It's the centerpiece of our armor, that this word is the very word of God himself. It's a means for us to encounter heaven, to encounter God's power and his revelation, to be strengthened in our inner man, to have every resource that we need to live in this world in which we live today. You know, I read this quote this past week, very profound, from a theologian, John Webster, and he said this, "Reading Holy Scripture is faithful reading. Exegetical reason caught up in faith's abandonment of itself to the power of the divine word to slay and to make alive." And so reading of Scripture, it must be a faithful reading. And it's the mind of Christ and learning to think as the Bible teaches us to think, that's caught up in faith's abandonment of itself to the power of the divine word to slay and to make alive. Meaning, as Martin Luther said, the word is alive and it chases me. Meaning that the word can kill in us the things that need killed. Things like envy and pride and fear and those things that are dragging us down. The word has the very power under the inspiration of God's Spirit to slay those things. And the word also has the very power to make us alive in revelation, to give us courage and joy and love and peace and hope and great faith. And so it's God's means. As we read this word under the inspiration of God's Spirit, we receive the life that we need. It's just a demonstration of God's very power. I want to read to you from this epistle of 1 Thessalonians. Once again, I want to read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns? It's you. Yes, you are our pride and joy." And I love those words from Paul. He wants so badly to be with those that he loves there in Thessalonica. And he says these words that are exceptional, that just bring joy to my heart, "though our hearts never left you." And so Paul is saying, even though we're not there, really our hearts never left you, our hearts are with you. And I want to encourage you, Becca and I continue to pray for each of you by name each day as members of our church. We pray for you by name every day. What a powerful statement Paul made, "though our hearts never left you." Church is the family of God. We're connected in covenant friendship. We're together in the Spirit in this time. The church is not a building. It's not a service. It's a group of people connected in the love of Christ as family, following Jesus, partnering as the body of Christ in a region. You know, and we can continue to pray for one another. We can continue to lift each other up. Though we're not in the same building, we can be together. Our hearts don't have to leave. We can lift one another up, be there for one another. And I encourage you to pray for your friends at church and encourage them. And be strong. Be a light for those who aren't in church and don't have the faith that you have. Show them the peace of God. Lift one another up. You know, not meeting together as church, this was a very hard decision for me to make, because this is so much more than canceling a basketball game or canceling a conference or canceling some form of entertainment. The church is not entertainment. You know, the church is something supernatural given by God, given to strengthen us. And so I want to encourage you today that church is not a service, it's not a building, it's a group of people who are in covenant relationship following Christ. And so church is going on today through your texts to your friends, through your phone calls, through your prayers, lifting each other up. We are the church. We are the church. And so God is with us. I want to talk a little bit about maybe some of the struggle that you feel this morning. And I want to read about from this epistle, once again, struggles that were going on in the church at Thessalonica. So from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 4 through 8, I want to read you these words. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. That is why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you're standing firm in the Lord. And so here is the church at Thessalonica, and they're suffering hardship, and yet they remain strong in their faith, and God carried through them through that time of hardship, gave them peace, gave them strength. And so here we find suffering and troubles. Here we find a group of people who are going through trials. Life is hard, but their faith is real. And it carried them through. I wanted to say to you this morning that the God that you serve is real. And he will carry you. And he will give you strength. He'll protect you and sustain you. He's right with you now. Right now in your home or wherever you're listening to this. God is with you. Trust him. Trust him. He's strong. He's not afraid. He's able to protect you. You know, as I was driving this week, I heard, or I didn't hear, but I remembered an article that I had read in the past in Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And if you've never read it, I highly encourage you to subscribe to that magazine. But this particular article told of two believers, two very strong believers, who are being persecuted in a very hostile nation because they are Christians. And they are very known to be very strong Christian people. And they are being watched to make sure that they didn't share their faith and that they didn't lead people to Jesus. And they were, as they were constantly being watched to see if they were sharing their faith, they found out innovative ways to encourage one another and to have church. And so this is the way that they had church. I thought about this week. Every few weeks they would meet somewhere. And one of the two of these men, one of the men would walk to a particular street, and they would, as they were walking on that street, the other man would drive up from another area, pull his car over. The other Christian would get in the car with this man, and they would drive through town, sometimes drive to other towns, and they would spend a couple of hours just driving. They would sing together, sing praise to God together. They would pray for one another. And then they would share scripture and stories from scripture that encouraged them. And they did this for an hour or two, and they'd meet once or twice a month. And they had to be very creative about how they met because they didn't want them fellowshipping with any other believers. And that was church for them, and it strengthened them. And that is God's heart for the church, that we would strengthen one another. And so when we think of church, we think of big buildings, we think of lots of people, but church can be just as simple as two or three gathering together, praying for one another, worshiping God, just giving Him thanks and praise, and even sharing scripture, sharing things from God's Word to encourage one another. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, he said this, if you wait to build your faith till you need it, it's too late. And that's so true. If you wait to build your faith until you need it, it's too late. We need to be building ourselves up in the Lord. We need to keep our lamps full of oil, as we talked about last week. We need to be strong in the Lord. And so I want to challenge you, as Easter approaches, get into these epistles, these letters that were crafted and designed to strengthen God's people. Get into those same epistles and say, God, get me ready for Easter. I want to worship you like never before this Easter. I want to thank you. I want to praise you. I want to love you. I want to know your word better. I want to be stronger. And these epistles were designed by God for the very purpose, no matter where you are, to strengthen you in your soul, to strengthen you and to build you up. So as the church, call each other, text each other. Let me know if you need a visit. We'd love to visit you if you need a visit. God is our strength and shield. He will defend us. He'll give us strength. He's strong and He's able. And so I want to challenge you to give yourself fully to God. Give yourself fully to God. You know, in my devotion this morning, I read the story of a young boy, and his name was Bobby, and he was raised in a poor Scottish family. And one day he attended a missions meeting at a small local church. He went to church and he heard the speaker's call to missions. And as they began to pass the plate to take up an offering for missions, the usher came by this young boy, Bobby. And as the usher came by with the plate, Bobby asked, would you place that container on the ground? And the usher looked at him puzzled, with a puzzling look, and he laid the container on the ground. And the young boy, with his bare feet, stepped into that offering. That offering container, and that young boy stood there, and he said these words that are so powerful. He said, I don't have any money to give to God, but I give myself. And so as we think about young Bobby and his declaration that day, I give myself to God. Listen to the rest of the story. You know, Bobby was Robert Moffat, who later became a missionary in South Africa, and he worked tirelessly to share God's love, introducing and translating all of the Bible into the local language. And he and his wife gave their everything to serve God. And so I want to challenge you this Easter, give your whole self to God. Be like little Bobby saying, you know, God, I want to get in that offering plate. I'm yours. And the epistles will tell you just how to do that. They'll strengthen you as you draw closer to God. So I don't know who's listening to this message today. I pray that this gets into the hands of people even beyond our church. But I want to give you an invitation to receive Jesus today. I don't know where you are in your walk with God, but it all begins so powerfully with inviting Jesus into our hearts to be the leader of our lives. And so if you're reading through these epistles, you'll find the word gospel, the gospel. Or you'll find words similar, the God's good news, and I would like to share with you the good news of the gospel right now. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 and 10 says this, "For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever." And so I want to challenge you today. You can come from death to life simply by praying a prayer, asking Jesus into your heart, asking him to forgive you of your sins, and asking him to become the leader of your life. John 1 verse 12 tells us that to as many as received him, that's Jesus, to as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so all you have to do today, if you want to become a Christian, if you want to become a Christ follower, say, "Jesus, I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Come into my life. Come into my heart." You know, Jesus, he paid the price for us on the cross. He lived the life that we should have lived, a sinless life. He died the death on the cross that we should have died. He was innocent, completely innocent. And he died on the cross for our sins. And that now, by placing our faith and trust in him as he's risen from the grave, by placing our faith and trust in him, he can wash our sins away. He can make us new. He can bring us from death to life, alive spiritually, so that we can live eternally, which is so much more important than just this short time that we spend on earth, this short period of time that we spend. And so I invite you, if you'd like to pray this prayer with me. If you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, your Savior, please pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Lord, I confess that I need you. I need your leadership. And I ask you, Jesus, to send your Spirit and come into my life. And be the very center of my life and lead me and guide me and help me to walk each day in your path. And I ask, Lord, for the fullness of your Holy Spirit, give me power in my life to do what's right and to follow you. And I thank you, Jesus, for your gift for me on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, God has come to live inside of you. And I just invite you to begin, get a Bible and begin to read the book of John and read your way through the book of John. And when you're done, read it again. And God will meet you there in his holy word. And he'll strengthen you. And he'll build your life. He'll show you the way forward. He knows just what to do. And he'll lead you. He'll be with you. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, just now, you've been born again, the word would say. You've been born from above. And if you prayed that prayer, please email me, tim@hopespringsonline.com, and I will pray for you every day. It's my promise to pray for you, to lift you up. But send me an email, tim@hopespringsonline.com, and I'd love to encourage you further and pray for you. And I'd like to close this message this morning with a benediction for us from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 11 through 13. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he as a result make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. And so thank you so much for listening. We're going to continue to post these as long as we're out of church, and I pray that we can get back to church even next week. But follow us on Facebook or our website, hopespringsonline.com, for more details. but we love you. We're praying for you. God is with you right in your home. Make your home a house of worship. Press into these epistles. Start with 1 Thessalonians. God will meet you there. And be encouraged. God loves us. He'll fight for us. He's strong. God bless you. Thank you.